Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 21st, 2016. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. This is serious, folks. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Remember, you can also email me or send me a physical letter with your prayer request or a communication for me. But anyway, so the email address can be found at prophecyhour.com. But the phone number is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address, our email at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Now, I want to remind you that if you want a special letter, you want it prayed over, you can send it to me by email, and I'll take it to the mission church. I'll anoint it with oil, and we'll pray over it, and then I'll mail it back to you if you include your address, or you can send one by mail the same way. In neither case will I send you any type of a solicitation for donations or anything. In fact, I'll basically lose your address after I send it back to you. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so please pray about supporting airtime. You know, I find out that all the time that we're getting out further and further, and so many just podcatchers and all those different things are picking up our radio program. But, you know, this initial program, this is done on live radio. This isn't like a podcast like you think. You sit down in front of your computer and then you read things. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but I am on live radio right now, which is a different thing. We record the live radio program. The live radio program then goes to podcast later. But airtime costs. So do the places that you go pick them up for podcasts. So pray about supporting radio. We don't sell anything on this program. I don't, and this ministry doesn't. So we need your support. Consider a donation if we bless you with radio. Okay. Our radio program archives can again be found at prophecyhour.com. On another note, I want to thank our listener base, which is worldwide in places like, there's a word I can't pronounce, Malmo, Sweden. Okay, Dublin, Ireland, Johannesburg, South Africa, Soweto, South Africa, Accra, Guyana, Paris, France, Valencia, Spain, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, St. Louis, Missouri, Detroit, Michigan, Dallas, Texas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Stockholm, California, Buffalo, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Newark, New Jersey, Plano, Texas, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the larger group of listeners to our radio programs, that is, when they hear our podcast later on tonight. So you folks in Wichita, pray about donating your extra clothes or food or whatever you have to the Wichita Mission Church. Come over and drop in and see what we do. Now, prayer, and we'll open tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I really pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And just please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. in this time that we are in. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight, folks, I like to put a song on when I do the radio program to set the mood. And this does set the mood in my heart of what I, as I look out at the nations and see these things. So let's play this song from Brother Ben now. And he blessed me with that music many years ago. He sent me a, I won't go into the lengthy thing between us, but he used to do a program on shortwave called 70th Week Magazine. And when basically, it looked like it was about the time he was retiring out of things, she sent me a I guess that was a cassette then, and said, I want to bless you with this music and use it to bless your ministry. And while I've never sold this music, I've got about a CD of it, about 10, 12 songs. And I play them once in a while because I really like them. They really hit home. But they're self-print. So, you know, a prayer for Brother Ben, and we lift him up. And the song does set the mood. And on another note, folks, you know, if you do have music, self-produced music or music that you own a copyright to, send it in to us. If it's something good, you know, I like to play songs when I do my programs without a guest, and so please send me your music and of course a note saying that, you know, I'm free to play it online. Okay. Anyway, we'll move on from that. Anyway, I wonder if any of you out there are watching the Republican National Convention. Could it be possible that our Father might indeed see fit to bless this nation and give it one more chance? Are we being tested? The Word says He will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. No matter what you think of the people, the Father said that He would bring them back to His promised land, a land that Yeshua, during the thousand-year reign, the millennial reign, will rule the nations and teach Torah to the nations, making the nations come up to the Feast of Tabernacles each year. And if they don't do it, they won't receive rain. So what about those that would choose to punish this nation, or better yet, take away the promised land of Israel? If you believe your Bible, this is a plain truth throughout the Bible. The platform for the Republican state said they will no longer look as Israel as an occupied territory. You get that? The Republican platform says they're no longer going to look as Israel as the occupied territory, and they are looking for other things besides a two-state solution. Therefore, not giving the land away. This sounds good. Mike Pence, the nominee for vice president, an evangelical Christian, has noted that his strong support for Israel is rooted in his faith. He says, "Let me emphatically, like the overwhelming majority of my constituents, my Christian faith compels me to cherish the state of Israel." Pence said that in an address to the Israeli Public Affairs Committee, APAC, in 2009 while he was serving in Congress. He reaffirmed the support for Israel last night in his speech at the convention. So I want to give you an example of what happens that I believe when we give away land. I believe, as many others, that the Katrina hurricane was a direct result of forcing Israel to give away the Gaza Strip. Bill Cohen states at his website, President Bush talked with the White House press pearl, and this was in August 23, 2005. The following is from President Bush's press briefing. And he congratulates the Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on the completion of the Gaza evacuation. Let's listen. "First of all, I want to congratulate the Prime Minister Sharon for having made such a tough decision. As I said in my remarks yesterday in Salt Lake City, the Prime Minister made a courageous decision to withdraw from the Gaza. We've got Jim Wolfelson, I guess that's who it says, the former head of the World Bank on the ground, helping President Abbas develop a government that responds to the will of the folks in Gaza. In other words, this is just one step in the development of a democracy. So to answer your question, what must take place next is the establishment of a working government in Gaza, a government that responds to the people. President Abbas has made a commitment to fight off violence because he understands a democracy can't exist with terrorist groups trying to take law into their own hands. Folks, what's going on in Gaza? Think about it. Along these lines, we also got General Ward on the ground helping the Palestinians consolidate their security forces. It turns out that post-Arafat regime is one of the most different factions and different security forces that were really in place as a kind of maintain power, but not necessarily to protect the overall security of the Palestinian people. It's their interest to consolidate the security forces so that there is a government that has a vehicle, a group of folks in which to enforce order. You asked about the roadmap, of course, you want to get back to that roadmap. But I understand that in order for this process to go forward, there must be confidence that the Palestinian people will have in their own government to perform, confidence with the Israelis that they'll see a peaceful state emerging. Therefore, it's very important for the world to stay focused on Gaza and helping Gaza, helping the Gaza economy get going, helping rebuild the settlements for Gaza for the people of Gaza. This is a hopeful period. I applaud Minister Sharon for making a decision that has really changed the dynamics on the ground and has really provided hope for the Palestinian people. My vision, my hope is one day we'll see two states." Okay. Enter in Katrina. Tropical Depression 12 becomes Katrina. Israel's disengagement evacuation eviction began on Wednesday, October 17th, and ended Tuesday, August 23rd. So that's the 17th to the 23rd. That's Israel's disengagement from Gaza. According to CNN, Israel evacuated the last settlers and protesters from the West Bank settlement on Tuesday, August 23rd, completing its historic withdrawal of civilians from 25 settlements in Gaza and the West Bank. Gaza's final evacuation occurred on Monday, August 22nd. Today, we accomplished the first phase of the disengagement process related to the evacuation of civilians. This was said by the Israeli Defense Forces Chief of Staff. Okay. Israeli forces plan to remove the settlers' belongings, destroy their houses, and then withdraw from Gaza. Authorities used force at times on Tuesday, August 23rd, to clear two remaining West Bank settlements. On Tuesday afternoon, October 23rd, same day, Tropical Depression 12 formed. By 11 a.m. on Wednesday, August 24th, the newly formed Tropical Depression was upgraded to Tropical Storm Katrina, and by 5 p.m. on Thursday, August 23rd, Katrina became a hurricane. On Friday, August 26th, Hurricane Katrina hit southwest Florida. By Monday, August 29th, Katrina had become a fierce and enormous Category 4 hurricane that hit Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, devastating the city of New Orleans. It is now being called the largest natural disaster in U.S. history. Israel's Gaza and northern Samaria settlements were under military occupation during the time of the evacuation, and New Orleans was under military occupation as they attempted to restore order. Seems like the same thing's going on. As in a war zone, military bases are being established in a city divided into two sections, while the Navy moved warships up the Mississippi for helicopter operations. On Wednesday, August 17, 2005, Ariel Sharon authorized a mandatory evacuation of residents refusing to evacuate Gaza. On Wednesday, September 7, an hour after New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin ordered the mandatory evacuation of the crippled Crescent City by force, if necessary, so soldiers began coaxing some of Hurricane Katrina's holdouts from their homes due to the fire and disease risks. The same thing's going on. We have thousands of people who want to voluntarily evacuate at this time, said Police Chief Eddie Compass, adding that once they were out, we'll concentrate our forces on mandatory evacuation. Israeli settlers stated that the Gaza and Samaria evictions will go down as the worst abandonment of Jews in history and the largest forced evacuation in Israel's history. Katrina has produced the largest mass migration and evacuation in U.S. history as hundreds of thousands of people were forced from their homes, going on at the same time, okay? The media and the Democrats say the White House abandoned black residents of New Orleans by not getting them help fast enough. Aaron Broussard, the president of Louisiana's Jefferson Parish, on NBC's Meet the Press, said the response to hurricane will go down as the worst abandonment of Americans on American soil ever seen in U.S. history. 9,000 Israelis were evicted by their government shortly after 1 million Americans were evicted by Hurricane Katrina. Okay. Israeli security teams went from home to home to evict Israelis, while teams of soldiers went home to home in New Orleans evicting people. Israel had an evacuee problem with people spread throughout Israel in hotels, lodged in makeshift homes, and living in tents. Texas and other U.S. states are absorbing the record numbers of Katrina evacuees. President Bush's home state of Texas had more than 250,000 people. Houston's Astrodome was filled with 33,000 people. 150,000 refugees in Houston's 55,000 hotel rooms, 20 Red Cross facilities, and 20 faith-based shelters. While 2,700 homes were demolished in Gaza, 300 homes in southern Samaria, tens of thousands of homes were demolished in southern U.S., with many more severely evacuated. Folks, this is happening at the same time. Businesses were forcibly abandoned in Gaza, Israel. many businesses will have to be abandoned in Louisiana and other Gulf cities. Wait a minute. Businesses no longer exist in Gaza. Businesses abandoned in Louisiana and the Gulf Coast at the same time. Buses took Israelis out of Gaza and northern Samaria to their temporary homes, while buses took New Orleans residents to their temporary homes in Texas and other southern states. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon saw this as the largest eviction of Jews in Israel's history. President Bush oversaw the largest natural disaster and displacement of people in United States history. So, kind of going along? Okay. I'm going to skip down to some of this and get to the last part of it. The replacement theology, replacement theology advocates and were believers that believe the church has replaced the Jewish people as God's chosen, not grafted in, according to Romans 11, see Katrina as a tragic event and no connection to judgment over Israel's recent evacuation and or for the sins of the United States. Those who believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, however, don't see biblical prophecy as allegorical. They see Katrina as judgment and or the birth pains that will lead much more to the days ahead. Isn't it sadly ironic that these three areas of greatest debate in the church today are whether, one, the land of Israel should or should not be divided, two, the church has replaced Israel, and three, that God has a hand in enormous disasters. Today, the media and many of our communities say that Mother Nature is responsible for major disasters. Guess what? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. But they would rather do that than call them acts of God. As he, Cohen says, as he shared before, there are major disasters in the 18th and 19th century. American pastors typically called for national or regional repentance for the sins of the people. Today, we hear very little of that, especially for those who attend replacement theology churches. The point is here, folks, did you hear that play-by-play thing? You can go to Bill Cohen's site, and there's much more to that. But the point is, they did something that didn't bless Israel, the United States did, and we got hit with it. Well, now, if we choose to bless Israel, the United States, will this presidency bring forward a period of time that the United States may receive blessing? I don't know. We just have to pray about it. I believe that we should pray for Trump because the alternate to Trump being president is Hillary Clinton, and that's just more or worse of the same darkness that we're already in. So, folks, you just pray about it, and we're going to go to take a break for 3 minutes, and we'll come back and talk some more about some other stuff.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, right now it's summertime, and donations slow down in the summertime, at least since probably about 2009, 2010, once the economy started getting, you know, full circle being really bad, people lost money. I mean, we still have some of our very same supporters that we've had for 20 years. But the problem is a lot of them lost money, and they're making less wages. And some of them have retired, you know, and moved on. And we no longer can afford to put it, make our mail-out newsletter. That's $500. If we had somebody that would sponsor that newsletter for $500 a month or buy us one of those kind of printers, you know, inkjet, big, heavy-duty printers that we could print, you know, 400 five-page newsletters on and mail out, well, if we had something like that, then it would help bring in donations. But we don't have either of those things. All we have is radio programs now. And, I have a mission updates list where people can subscribe to it. It's a Yahoo group list, and you can find it at prophecyhour.com. And I have some people on that. And when I say what's going on with the ministry or basically the needs of the ministry, well, people used to respond a lot and real fast to it. But now, not so much, because everybody, really the problem is everybody's over there on Facebook. If anybody has any ideas on how to fundraise on Facebook or make us better aware on Facebook, you know, let me know. I was over there looking today, and it seems like that you can do videos, you know, live videos, and we'll let you do up to 2 hours. I don't know how that would work. If somebody investigates it or knows about Facebook, let me know. We're looking for all avenues, but it's hard when things like, you know, we're a ministry that puts, you know, I put over half of my own personal income into the ministry and the building. And so when things go wrong, like, you know, like now I've got a computer out, down completely, that is a critical computer. We need it replaced, but we don't have the funds to replace it. And so, you know, we just have to pray it in or bring it to you, the people, and ask, because it's you, the people, that's been supporting this ministry for so long. Well, you know what? When I was at the Mission Church on Tuesday, I was almost worn down by not having the things that we had, by not having the things that we needed for the people. You know, and I was at the gas station, the Quick Trip, putting gas in my son's truck, is my truck, the wheel bearings were out of. And so we've been driving his truck, and so he could get some driving hours. He's 15 years old, and he did buy the truck by himself. And anyway, Elijah, my son, said somebody was yelling at me. And I said, well, this is normal. I wonder who it is now. Because it seems like no matter where I go in Wichita, someone yells at me, hey, Pastor Dan. Sometimes it's for help. Sometimes it's just to say hi. And sometimes it's for things like this. The fellow said, I got walked over the car, and he said, I just wanted you to know that you're the main inspiration for the street ministry that I do. I have not seen this man for a very, very long time. The last I saw of him, he was partying and doing different things. And so this was a different, changed individual. He looked better. I asked how he was. And by doing so, we talked, and I got a real confirmation as to the street ministry that he's now doing. But you know what? I never would have thought this man could be who he is now. But with Yeshua, as it's recorded in Mark 9:23, says, and Yeshua said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, you know what? We believe by faith. And that's one of my wife's favorite scriptures. We believe by faith that we have the money that we can drive over to Wichita sometimes with not even gas money. And people think, well, you're going over with not even gas money. Well, what do you spend your money on? Well, we spend it on the people. We spend it on the Mission Church. We spend it on, you know how much electricity costs for a big building like that in the summertime? One, which is a bill that my wife's telling me, oh, I'm threatening on it. That bill's coming due Tuesday. And, you know, right now there's no money in the ministry to pay for that. But, you know, we're praying for it by faith. We believe that it'll get paid somehow, but it's a huge electric bill because, you know, we're in a building that really doesn't even have any windows, so there's not an option. Somebody told me once, well, the homeless, they don't need air conditioning. Let them tough it out. Well, okay, well, whatever, brother, but it's like this. We don't even have any windows in the Mission Church because we're blocking out the high crime rate that we're in. If we had windows, we'd get broken into. We don't have any windows in the Wichita Mission Church. It's a place of safety. Nobody breaks into it while we're there. Nobody breaks into it, so to speak. But the point is it takes air conditioning. in the summertime. It takes in the wintertime, it takes heat. And so we have to pay for gas bills, electric bills, all of those things, which by no means, I'm not a rich man, and I'm not getting rich off radio. People think that by me being on radio and you're reaching thousands upon thousands of people that are listening to your program, that you guys are just sitting there getting rich. Really? Really? Well, you know, not that much come in. Number one, most people think that radio is totally free. You know, well, it's free for them. They go online, click on it, and they can get it. They can get it on their cell phone. Well, that's free to them. But in order to produce it and to put it there to where you can get it, that airtime costs money, let alone you consider all the hours that I look for radio guests for you and try to find you the truth. That's the deal. I try to find you the truth. Just like a letter today, I'm just going to read you one little excerpt out of it. This fellow sent a donation. He says, I've been listening to Messiah's Branch podcast for the last 3 years. I found it on Stitcher. I enjoy the podcast as being enlightened as well as spot on with an understanding of these perilous times that we are now that we now live in. The Lord has put it on my heart to give you an offering. I apologize that I have not given an offering sooner. You may use the offering for whatever you need. And this is a Messianic Jew, and we're not going to read the rest of the letter because it's personal. But so he donated. It's people like that that make donations. But those are, like he said, he's been listening and being blessed for 3 years, and he said he apologized for not giving sooner. Well, folks, is that what's with you? Have you felt like that you were supposed to give us a donation? Have you felt in your heart, oh, I'll donate something and then forgot about it later? That's why, this fellow sent a check, but you can do that by U.S. mail. Or, you can simply go online and donate by PayPal, and it's safe. Everybody uses it. But the point of the matter is we need your support. We really do need your support in these end times we're in. We, like I say, back to that computer. I have a broken computer. I need a computer to fix it. I'm looking at a screen that has lines on it up and down. But I need it on because that monitors my Skype. But it's going to blow out at any time, and then I'm going to be a screen short. And so how do we do it? We believe, it goes back to Mark 9:23. Yeshua said unto them, if you cannot believe, all things are possible to him believe. I believe that he will keep us going. He has kept us going in radio since 2004 on this station, and we did radio a couple years before that on shortwave. All of it by his blessing. And you know what? This man that talked to me, this black man, in a minute or two, I was so lifted up, so far beyond my self-gloom, that, wow, I had made an impression on this man. But we get that all the time. You know, people, like I say, people run into them in the street, and they'll come up and they'll hug me, and they'll say, and I'll go, well, who's this? Well, don't you remember me? You said a prayer for me a couple of years ago, and I'm just fine now. Or you ministered to me and prayed for me. And so now I'm no longer an alcoholic. I've changed my life. I'm the manager of this store. So on and so forth. And we've given thousands and thousands of large print King James Bible. Something that used to be mailed to us from different people regularly. But you know what? Right now, things are slow. We're not getting any Bibles in the mail. Some ministries even used to donate books. But right now, I don't know why. Nothing seems to be coming. It's just slowed down. It usually does that in the summertime. But, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We are definitely making an impression on people. And like I said, we are in one of the worst parts of town, people who really need the help. You know, we were called. Yeshua said he was called to the sinners. He wasn't called to preach to the choir, so to speak. We were called to minister to the unsaved. That's what this ministry does. We are among the unsaved, some of the worst of the worst. I've prayed and I've told the Father, bring me the worst of the worst. Bring me the worst of your worst. And we'll pray for them and we'll minister to them. And what was put on my heart was to help without judgment. We help these folks without judgment. And so they respect that and they love us for it. Yeah, there's some bad seeds and there's some up and downs. But you know what? There is many different ways. I can think of two or three different ministries that I could be hooked up with right now that when I got saved and came out of the world, that I could be doing not bigger things, because there isn't nothing bigger than what I'm doing in the kingdom of heaven. But the point is, I could be in some ministries that are really on the go and blah, 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 that I know that are really doing good right now. And I had opportunities to be in with news services and other things. But I turned them down because I was obedient. The Father put it on my heart. He kept me up all night long to do this particular ministry. And later on, he blessed me with the radio. Radio is a blessing. I get to do radio because I'm obedient to doing the caring for the homeless and poor. But there is no greater thing than to help for those that cannot help themselves. There is no greater repayment in the kingdom of heaven for giving gifts that you can't be repaid for. So I really do implore you from the bottom of my heart, pray about supporting this ministry. You folks out there that are listening, if you just give $100 a piece, and I hate to sound like this, but if you would give $100 a piece, then, you know, we could maybe really help us out of our summer slump. You know, you could do that by donating on PayPal. Can you afford it? Pray about it. Have you ever felt in your heart that you were supposed to give to this ministry? So I pray that you would do it tonight, today, whatever the case, wherever you're listening. And some of you may not listen to this program till days later or even a week later. But still, the need will be there. Even if you're not listening live, the need will still be there. So pray about it. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. You know, we're just the strange people down the street. You know, the guys that minister to the homeless. Oh, yeah, those guys are doing a good job, and they sure send a lot of people to us, but they sure don't send any money, and they sure don't send any food, and they sure don't send any clothing. They just send people. So that's what the agencies do. People that have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that, well, we really don't have no budget. We just, let's see here. You need help? Let me reach in my pocket. Okay, here's $10. Will this help? Or, you know, okay, maybe I've got $100. Or, no, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. Let's pray about it, see if we can pray it in. Or I put it out on the mission update list. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, you know, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. Read your Bible. All donations, no matter what size, helps, folks, really. And sometimes people even send in a $1,000 donation. That comes. It's been a while since I got one of them. But the Father donation notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Your heart. If you don't wish to help before, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. But why do so many Christians have such a hard time? I mean, the world is so tough, especially for the true followers of Yeshua, because this is what the scripture said. He said in John, it's recorded in John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, and I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. So if they persecute, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So, wow. So why is it that we expect, by believing in him, that our lives will be cushy, so to speak? It'd be easy. I mean, are we greater than him or the apostles? History says that they died horrible deaths. They became martyrs, which the Greek word for martyrs is really witness. And that's what we're called to be, a witness, sometimes even called to be that unto death. Yeshua-centered life is one that calls us to be set apart and hated by the world. If you love the world, you cannot love it, Yeshua, for no one can serve two masters. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where the moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where there neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where the thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure here is, that's where your heart will be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, and thy whole body be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No, not everyone is going to have to die for him, but as he did for us. But it is a life of sacrifice. Do you understand what the word sacrifice is? You know, we are supposed to sacrificially give ourselves to him for his work. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about things like going out and ministering to the people, giving up some of your time. When's the last time you gave up something for the kingdom? Whether it's your time to talk kindly to a young adult, or to witness to somebody on the street, or maybe to give help to your grandma and grandpa. Kindness, Yeshua's love. When have you did something for the kingdom? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present yourself as bodies of as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that is good and acceptable in the perfect will of Yahweh. For I say, though the grace be given unto me, to every man that is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as Yahweh hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So I often wonder, why, Father, is it so hard to do what you called my family and I to do? I'm being obedient, as I had direct revelation from you to do what we do. It's recorded in Mark 19:9-49. Therefore the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone that shall be will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherein will your season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. Then I realized that this kingdom is not of his kingdom. It's not of this world. We are being prepared to be with him for an eternity. We are being salted by trial and the fire to be prepared to endure unto the end. Matthew 10:16 says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, that you therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And you shall be brought before governments and kings for my sake, as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not that ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father of the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You hear that? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. We are waiting for that time. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be called, be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of this household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered and that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. We in the West often so forget these things. While our brothers worldwide are being beheaded, burned alive, basically slaughtered for their faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. And so what in the world do we have to cry about? Revelation 24 says, And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Yahweh, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, and neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and did what? Reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. Where are they going to reign with him 1,000 years? Jerusalem, Israel. Jerusalem, Israel. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Messiah, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Is that's what we're being prepared for? So we go through tough times. What is that? What does it matter if we don't have millions and millions of dollars as a legacy, or we can leave something behind? Yes, it's a just thing to leave behind for your generations. But in the same light, I'm concerned with storing my treasure in heaven. What are you concerned with? Are you concerned with getting ahead here so that what? So that when you want, when you retire, then you can go run around the country and see the country. I don't know how much longer this country is going to be around, nor the sights thereof. And so if you have the money to see it, you better go see it now, because I really don't know how long Babylon America is even going to be here. But we should see through all that. See clear through into the place that we're coming to. That when all these birth pains, you know, have any of you people ever had children? Have you went in with your wife or wives? You know, you go, you have your labor pains come, oh, and then it gets a little easier. And you, I can rest for a minute. And then it goes, oh, and then a little easier. And then they get closer and closer and closer together until then it's the thing they call the crowning. And then that's the worst pain, and that's the worst pain before the delivery. And by then, a woman is in such agony. Oh, it's just terrible. But then what happens? Something wonderful comes. Something very, very wonderful comes. New life comes out of the womb, and there's a baby brought into the world. New life. There isn't nothing more precious than a new baby. You know, they give unconditional love, and they're so soft and cuddly and loving, and oh, it just makes you want to melt. Something wonderful comes at the end of the birth pains. The world, folks, is in birth pains. You see things happen, and then you see it back off. But they keep coming. You can't turn them back. And something wonderful is going to come. There's something wonderful that's going to come after the final hard birth pain. The crowning is going to be Yeshua HaMashiach. He's going to be coming in the clouds with power and great glory. He's going to be coming. The whole world will see him. And the tribes of the earth will mourn because they realize their judgment is coming. That Yeshua HaMashiach is coming to settle things for the righteous and take care of the poor. You know, and if you read your Bible over and over, it talks about the poor and how much a loving relationship Yeshua has with him and how he loves him. We love the poor. We try to be Messiah-like. We try to walk even as he walked. That's why we're Torah observant. We keep the feast. And that's why we take care of the poor. Even Paul said he sold all his riches and gave to the poor. So this night, can you folks pray about it and send a sacrificial donation to Messiah's branch? You can do it by mail, check, money order, whatever. You can do it online. But we really do need your help. Pray about it. If you care about this ministry, any size donation will help. And don't think like so many others, well, you know what, somebody else will put in money and everybody else will put in money, so I don't have to. But then when you realize it, everybody stopped the same way and there's zero. Or maybe just a few dollars. Now, you know, we do go through seasons of dryness. But pray about it. You folks that are my regular listeners, and I know there's a lot of regular listeners out there, a lot of people over the world. I also ask that you would really, really seriously lift us up in prayer. I mean, seriously, emotionally lift us up in prayer. Share these radio programs with other people. But remember, pray about it. You know what? So many people want to go to do missions overseas and all that kind of things. Well, that's a very good thing to do. But there's a mission field right out your doors in these big cities. And mostly, you'll probably look around you. You should start with your friends and neighbors first and your own family. And so pray about the folks in the United States first. And lift up the United States. Lift up Donald Trump. And pray for this country. Pray that we get another season, or that we get a season in which that we can refresh ourselves before the terrible, we are in the middle of the most terrible thing that has ever happened on the face of this earth. and will nor ever happen again. That's coming, folks. It truly is. It truly is. And we see so many, many things moving back to it. But I got, anyway, I've got again, I want to point real quick a couple of things in the platform. They're going to dramatically increase the Pentagon budget. They want to have U.S. military superiority into being the strongest on Earth and bigger than any other nation on Earth. They want to cancel the Iran treaty, which is a righteous thing, and reaffirm support for Israel and slam the sanctions movement. Reaffirm America's commitment to Israel's security and ensure that Israel maintains a military edge over all their adversaries. Well, folks, I got to go. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Stay tuned next hour for Richard Reeves, Too Long in the Sun. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you have Yeshua and not be a blessing to others? I don't understand it. Lord our God, dear Heavenly Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you bless and keep the people and that your face shines upon the people, Father, and is gracious, and you're gracious to them and you give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.